Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I am joined for the preponderance of the hour by the Reverend Leon Bostic and Pastor Larry Dabney. These men are performing a marvelous service on behalf of God's kingdom in the Kensington district of Philadelphia. We will be looking to conversation with these men in just a moment or two. But first, we turn to the Word of God. We continue to be examining and sharing from the Apostle Paul, his second letter to the Corinthians. We begin this morning with chapter 5. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantor. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. A remarkable text. Paul has been on a kind of theological and spiritual roll concerning a juxtaposition betwixt, on the one hand, our sufferings, on the other, our eternal weight of glory, as he so famously puts it. Here we go not simply from in this life suffering on the one and hope and life on the other. We go literally, quite literally, from the issue of death to life, passing from this world to the next, but not wanting to be too quick about it for any number of reasons, but wanting us to be ready. And we must be ready at any and every turn. Every morning that we wake up, we do not know whether we will be seen through the course of the day's entirety. Every night we go to bed and fall asleep, we are given no assurance that we may awaken in the morning. Our lives could be taken from us at any moment. Indeed, as you are listening to this broadcast on Saturday morning, November 2nd, it is literally 1 year to the date that I underwent my second major cardiac surgery. I didn't really have any concerns that I wouldn't make it through the surgery, although anything can happen. But I do hearken back to my first surgery 5 or 6 years ago out at the Mayo Clinic, and I did not know whether I would get through that surgery. I believed on faith that I would, but I also knew that it was a rather precarious situation and that there was a distinct possibility that I might not see the other side of the surgical knife. Praise God, I did. God's work for me would only begin to blossom afresh. I've been given a whole new lease on Christian ministry. Many of my colleagues readying now in our mid-60s to retire, God bless them. I'm not given license, nor am I given the green light to do that, because I'm just beginning all over again the work that God has entrusted into my care. But I have to understand, as do we all, and I love the language that Paul uses, and let me quote afresh from 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, by use of the word tent, using the motif of a tent, he's actually speaking of our bodies. If this tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building or a home from God, a house that is not made with hands, a house that is eternal in the heavens. You know, growing up outside of Boston, I was surrounded quite literally by four cemeteries. I was raised up surrounded by Jews and Catholics and Protestants and non-denominational types. I never laid eyes upon any of them. They were all dead. They had gone home, or in the very least, they had left their earthly homes. Where they went from that moment on, only God himself knows. But I was raised with a consciousness that life comes to an end. And that raises the question, what lies beyond the grave? And I love, please, what Jesus says in the Gospel of John. It's a magnificent text of scripture. I quote it at many, if not every funeral that I conduct. And this is what our Lord and Savior says. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. He has passed from death to life, or as another translation puts it, he has crossed over from death to life. When we come to know by way of saving knowledge, by way of personal and meaningful encounter, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given full assurance that on the other side of the grave, on the other end of this earthly sojourn, there is life that is indescribably magnificent, to which we have a place, an integral place. God has called us to himself. He has called us by name, and he is preparing. Jesus tells us this again in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Allow me to read this as well. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." That way, of course, is the way of Calvary, the cross of Jesus Christ. We have this earthly tent that lasts only for a season. It doesn't come with a warranty, but for Christ. And in and with Christ, the warranty is such that when this earthly tent breaks down and we die, we now live. For to live is Christ, to die is gain. We gain the fullness of the presence of God. We gain the heavenlies themselves. Our names are written in the book of life if you look to Christ. Praise the Lord. I love how Paul puts it, please. And this would be in his letter to the Philippians. It's a marvelous text in the 3rd chapter. He says this. He says that whatever I've gained, I count, he says, as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything of this earthly sojourn is counted as loss because he goes on to say, look, I've not already obtained, nor have I become perfect. I've not already obtained what God has promised me in full. I've not yet been made fully mature. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, to win the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Number one, we hold true to what we have heretofore obtained. Number two, we continue to strive forward that we might win the fullness of the prize, the full measure of the joy of his salvation, the full presence of the Lord God Almighty. This is what awaits us on the other end of this earthly sojourn. If, an extraordinary, profound if we repent of our sin and put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And his arms are open wide, as is his heart, beckoning us to come. Praise his name. This is Brad Lathy with the great message. We return in a moment. Thank you. Good morning. This is Brad Lathy, pastor of First Baptist Church at Gunshawhawken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society. For this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am joined for the hour by Pastor Larry Dabney and the Reverend Leon Bostick. These men are both affiliated with a renowned church in the northern sector of the city, Deliverance Evangelistic Assembly, and they are part and parcel of a marvelous ministry to the homeless in the Kensington district of Philadelphia. Gentlemen, welcome to you both to our broadcast today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I am honored to have you both. Reverend Bostick, you and I have met by way of the Philadelphia Bible Society. Pastor Dabney, this is our first opportunity, and I am so grateful and so deeply obliged. And I understand that Reverend Bostick comes under your ministerial authority. So if I may, I'll begin with you. And would you tell us something about the work that you're doing in the Kensington district of Philly?
Absolutely. First of all, we want to thank you for the honor of putting us on the radio. And we also want to thank you for the Bibles you donate. Because every time...
Thrilled to do it, sir.
Every time someone from the Kensington Allegheny area accepts Jesus Christ, we give them a Bible. And we serve about 50 to 100 people down there at Kensington Allegheny. First of all, let me just tell you, I'm from the HELPS ministry. HELPS is an acronym meaning helping, enjoying, and loving people to salvation through Jesus Christ. And what we plan on doing is helping these people. If I could stop, park, and pause and tell you that the Lord helped me. And there we are for the grace of God. So I just thank God that I'm able to go back and tell them, look what the Lord has done. Look how the Lord has blessed me. I'm a living testimony, except for the grace of God. So what we do is we set up a table, and we don't feed them a full course meal. We just have peanut butter crackers and water and some juice. Of course, we have tracts and Bibles. And so what it is about 50 to 100 people, they line up at the table, and we pray first, and then we give them the stuff that we have. And then Reverend Bostick is and I on the side of the table, and we just pull them to the side and start witnessing, start hearing their stories, and start listening to their concerns. And we just thank God that they're very receptive. And a lot of the people believe in Jesus Christ. And we try to give them spiritual, but we also try to take them to detox. We'll put them in the van right there and take them to the detox right at Germantown Avenue. And that way they can get their physical stuff together. But first we go over the sinner's prayer, and then we go over... Romans 3 and 23, 6, 23, 5 and 8 and 10 and 9, the Romans Road to Salvation. And Leon has his special way of ministering. I guess he'll tell you that way too. And we also offer them an alternative. Not only do they go into detox, but I teach people how to install solar panels. So we offer them an alternative how they can make an income. And we also, at the health ministry, have a computer lab. So if they need their computer skills enhanced, we'll do that also. And recently, we had a couple people that came through the program that got hired by a solar panel company. Didn't mind that they had a record. Didn't care that they had their past. And they're still there right now. So we just thank God. To God be the glory.
I praise God to hear this. One thing that you said early on, I revel in hearing it. You're not simply going in to minister, which you are at a very profound level, but you're taking the time to hear their stories. And, you know, my twin brother, Brian, was studied in London many, many years ago. And a homeless man on the streets of London approached him one day. And my brother went to give him a couple of pounds. His assumption was that the man needed some money. And he said, "Son, I don't want your money. You've given me what I needed." And my brother was a bit mystified. And the man responded by saying, "You gave me the respect of my humanness.
Yeah.
You honored me by greeting me." You're honoring these guys by listening to them. And I think that's going to go so far. That's going to go such a long way.
I believe that. And I just had the benefit of doing a eulogy this week. And I was telling people that we all are homeless. This is not our home. We have another place, not built by hand. Don't get me to preaching now. don't get me started.
We call it an occupational hazard, don't we?
don't you get me started. But what I was amazed about is that I asked how many wanted to be saved, and several people raised their hand in the actual homegoing service. So we just thank God for that.
I praise God. And Pastor Dabney, before I turn over to Reverend Bostick, how long have you been at this work?
All my life. No, let me stop. Our ministry started about 12 years ago.
Okay. And you've been at the core of it ever from the inception?
Well, absolutely. I founded the Helps Ministry, me and my wife.
Okay.
And but I'm out of the Cathedral Faith Baptist Church, Bishop Barry Connolly. I was there for 30 years, a deacon, head of the deacon board, Sunday school superintendent, and so forth. But me and Leon, Reverend Bostick, we have been friends for 67 plus years. And we lived on the same block, and Leon moved away, and then we reconnected. And look at God. Look at God, yes. How we reconnected and how Reverend Bostick is on. Sharpen my pencil, as I would say. You know, iron sharpens iron. You know that.
It does indeed. Reverend Bostick, please.
You know, I try to tell Larry not to tell him how long we've known each other, because people start trying to do the math. You know what I mean? How long those guys, you know? But Pastor Dabney and I, we grew up together, and in the Strawberry Mansion section of the city of Philadelphia. And we were, Pastor Dabney, Larry, and I were tight. We were close. You know what I mean? We did everything together, right? Then my parents approached my sister and I, telling us that we were moving. So we moved from 32nd. I don't know how well you know the city, Pastor Lacy, but we moved from 32nd in York to 20th in Cheltenham. And that's like another world almost.
You're talking culture shock. You are indeed.
Absolutely. So, Larry.
By the way, if I may just interject, I'm a born and bred proper Bostonian who has come to know and to love the city of Philadelphia. So I've got a pretty good read on the city, all ends of the spectrum. So I love being with you guys and sharing the ministry. Reverend Bostick, I'm going to ask you to hold just for a moment, because we need to take a break. On the other end, I'm going to give you the lion's share so that we have a balance betwixt the two of you. But Brad Lacy with Pastor Larry Dabney, and the Reverend Leon Bostick. These are men hard at work in the Kensington District bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. We return in just a moment. Brad Lacey, Pastor Larry Dabney, and the Reverend Leon Bostick, we return with the great message for another round on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Reverend Bostick, you began to share. I had to rudely cut you off. I now graciously bring you back. Would you care to pick up where you left off?
Okay. Yeah, so as I was saying, how Pastor Dabney and I, we have a long history together. And we separated for probably a few decades. And when we reconnected, he's in ministry, I'm in ministry, and we just came together. And what happened was, it was during the pandemic that I think we started working even more closely together. It was near the, I guess, right in the middle of the pandemic. And you're familiar with my church, Pastor Lacey, Deliverance Church, but we had actually shut down. We weren't, just as many other churches had shut down, wasn't doing a lot. And I happened to talk to Pastor Dabney. I was, well, Larry, what have you guys been doing? He said, well, me and one of my deacons, we've been going down to the Kensington area, Kensington and Allegheny, setting up a table, you know, have tracks, masks. If it's cold, you may have something hot to drink. If it's hot, have something cold to drink. And we were sharing the gospel with the people there. And once we passed out everything and, you know, we shut down and we go back to our respective places. So I would say, well, can I come? He said, sure, come. And I've been doing it for about four years now. And I thank God. I also mentioned, though, as you know, the Deliverance Church has been involved in outreach ministry for decades. When I came to the Deliverance Church under Pastor Benjamin Smith Sr., that's one thing that he always impressed on us. Live it and share it. Live the gospel, share the gospel. Live the gospel, share the gospel. So as I had mentioned, Pastor Lacey, I think we have evangelized the city of Philadelphia, every area of the city of Philadelphia at one time or another.
Well, that's, if I may just interject, that is very impressive to me. Coming from the city of Boston, which is a world-class city, but geographically it's much smaller, I come to Philly and you go to the outer end of Northeast Philly and then traverse across to the outer end of Southwest Philly, you might as well be going from China to London. I mean, it's huge. So for you guys to be covering such ground for the gospel, that's extraordinary.
Amen. Amen.
At one time or another, we have covered, and I would say just about every area of the city of Philadelphia. Northeast, as you mentioned, Northwest, South Philly. We've gone door to door witnessing. We've been on hot spots like 52nd and Market, Broad and Erie, Bridge and Pratt. Subways, we've actually gone on the subways and ministered the gospel on the subways, on the elevated train. So sharing at Kensington and Allegheny, I just thank the God. But we never did it on a weekly basis like we're doing it now under the Helps of Ministry. We've gone.
Can I interject something for a minute?
By all means.
I want to say this. When we were getting ready to get started, because our church is only like 11, 12 years old, we called Reverend Bostick in to teach the evangelism class at my church. And we just thank God for that. But for his expertise and his experience, he came in. He said, by all means. And he came in and led us to the proper way, or the way that they evangelize the neighborhoods. And from that point on, we start going out. We start going out. And we just thank God for Leon.
Well, you know, Pastor Lacey, one thing, too, just to say, you know, we give honor to who honor is due. And I think, and as Pastor Dabney had already mentioned, iron sharpens iron. And all of us have or need people in our lives that kind of motivate us in certain aspects of life. And hopefully we motivate one another. And one thing that has impressed me about Pastor Dabney, he's not one that's going to sit around and talk about what needs to be done for a long time, for ages, but he's going to put his shoulder to the wheel and talk about it, and then he's going to say, well, let's get it done. And that's been a motivation to me also.
Well, you both of you men strike me, number one, to use an old adage, you're obviously, for the kingdom of God, you're on the job, praise God. And I'm so impressed by this. You're true servants of Christ. You know, you're leading by example. You're leading by way of lending yourselves in service. You're lending your bodies. You're not simply talking. You know, many often churches, you hear a lot of talk. You hear the songs and the preaching, and I'm not taking away from any of it. But you guys are putting your bodies on the line. And in that respect, you're setting an example that is so stellar. We need more men like the two of you. I tip my hat to you.
But you know, there's so many people out here suffering. There's so many people out here that need the one-on-one contact. They need to see that. So the Bible says go. After you learn, then you go. And
yes,
we're going the highways and byways. So that, for that reason, we just thank God that the Lord allows us to do this. It's not us. It's the Christ within us. It's not us.
Yes.
This is not about us. It's about the Christ that is in us and what he has done and what he keeps on doing. I had to look back. He blesses me so good and say, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You've been so good and you've been so kind. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I'm delighted. It's Christ at work in you. But he is using you, and you'll be touched by this. Many, many years ago, I was in Moscow over in Russia with a group of Baptist preachers. We were working with some Russian students, and a gentleman approached me, and he said, where are you guys from? And we said, well, we explained who we were and what we were doing and where we were from. And I asked him who he was, and his response, I believe, is the exact kind of response you could offer as well. He lit up like a Christmas tree, and he said to me, I am an ambassador for the kingdom of God. That was his answer to me. And that's exactly who you guys are, whether you're in the Kensington district or elsewhere. A Christ at work in you. I rejoice to hear this.
You know, I want to say, Jesus is concerned about man kind in general. Amen.
Yes.
So it's a good opportunity to share the gospel, but we share the gospel where we get an opportunity, whether that's local or abroad. And I remember at one point that he had been sharing the gospel in the city of Philadelphia, but we got an opportunity to go abroad. And being a part of the doing short-term missionary work at the Deliverance Evangelistic Church. So we've been not only sharing in the city of Philadelphia, but we've gone abroad, Honduras, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Nigeria, you know, South Africa, even India. Mm. And as God opened doors, we go to the glory of God. So we thank God, as Larry has mentioned, we realize it's not up, but he's commissioned us to go. And see, many people don't come to the church, to the building, the local assembly. So we take the gospel to them. And as we take it to them, you know, many of them are people, as was mentioned, many of these people are people who once knew the Lord. But for some reason, they got sidetracked. And thank God we can be used as instruments that they can get back on track. And many of them are.
Amen. Can I just say one thing to all?
You may.
If, you know, we as Christians, we need opportunities and jobs too. So if anybody wants to get learn about solar panels, because we've been to Haiti and to Africa and installed solar panels. You might want to call back and get my phone number, and we can set you up for free training so that you can get an opportunity. Because, you know, some Christians out there looking for jobs, too. And we can invite them to Christ and teach them about solar panels, and they can teach other people. And we need incomes and stuff like that, too.
Pastor Dabney, I would happily lend myself to be the intermediary. If anyone were interested, they could reach me, and I would direct them to you. That would be my consummate privilege. Gentlemen, I think of what Billy Graham has said, and I think of what Martin Luther King has said. Graham, when he died, he had long wanted on his gravestone a simple epitaph: "Here lies a servant of Christ."
Yes.
You men are servants of Christ. And I think of what Martin Luther King said. He said that we are to never underestimate the power of testimony, and you men are testifying with your words and your deeds, and it is glorious. But we need to take a break, and we will return, Brad Lacey, the Reverend Leon Bostick, and Pastor Larry Dabney, for a final round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey with Pastor Larry Dabney and the Reverend Leon Bostick, two very dear Christian men who are doing extraordinary work in the Kensington District of Philadelphia. We return for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Reverend Bostick, you and I have had the privilege of spending some time together. You've made use of our material at the Philadelphia Bible Society. And if you'll forgive me the way I put this, I got to size up who you were, and you are stellar. And Reverend Dabney, just as we work together over these microphones and we're seeing each other across a computer screen, it is very evident to me that, as with Reverend Bostick, the presence of Christ dwells very powerfully, both within you and also through you. You men take the gospel wherever you go, and you're part and parcel of a large city. Let me ask you both, we'll start with Reverend Bostick. Broadly speaking, not simply Kensington, but broadly speaking, throughout the city of Philadelphia, what is needed? What can Christians and churches be doing, not simply in the city, but those of us out in the broader regions? How can we be, what do we need to know about, and how can we be supporting you?
Well, I one thing is, I don't care how large a church is, and I know the Deliverance Church is one of the larger churches, I guess, than the city of Philadelphia, but it's been my experience, I don't care how large a church is, it's only a small nucleus of people that are involved in outreach, taking the gospel outside. You know, and it's been my experience that these people that are doing this are people who you wouldn't consider to be oftentimes preachers or students of the Bible or whatever, you know. They just have a burden for souls. And yes. I think that's one thing that Pastor Smith had said to the congregation years ago, and I never forgot it. He said, if you don't have a burden for souls, ask God to give you a burden for souls. Yeah. So we have to be about what if you work on a job, you have to be about what your employer is about. If you're doing something contrary to what your employer is about, you're not going to be on that job that much long.
That's right. Right. Well stated.
And so our Lord is about souls. So we have to be about souls. And I think that's what's missing, people going and taking the gospel to certain areas. You know, they may be able to have people to come to the church. And as I said, oftentimes people are not going to come to the church, but we have to take the gospel to them. And a lot of organization is about rehabilitation. And I think rehabilitation is very significant, but we should put more emphasis on regeneration. People need to be regenerated. You know, they need to be regenerated. Now, as I said, rehabilitation has its place, but you give a man a house, and if a person needs a house, you give them a house, they just an unsaved person with a house. If they need food and you feed them, these things are very important, you got an unsaved person with a full stomach. But the primary need is salvation. And as the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things to be added. Now, you may give them food, you know, in order to reach them with the salvation, but your primary goal is to reach them with the salvation.
Salvation is the fundament to Christian existence. Pastor Dabney, your contribution, please.
Yeah, no one comes to the Father except for God draws them. So I believe that if you walk right and you talk right, I was at a job one time, and I was a supervisor, and something happened that was contrary to my supervision, and I handled it a different way. And one of the guys that watched the whole situation, he said, "I want to come to your church." I said, "How you know I go to church?" He said, "You got to go to church. You got to believe in God for the way you handled it." And guess what? The way I handled it was Christ-like. It was the Christ in me. So no one comes to the Father except he's drawn, but you got to give him something to draw people through you. And that's your actions and your kindness. And we went to the hospital one time, and I walked in the hospital with work clothes on, mind you, because I wanted to go see this person. And I got to praying and giving communion, and time I finished, everybody was asking for prayer, and everybody was asking for communion, and so forth and so on. So I think that you had to let your light so shine before men that you can draw other people. And then once you draw them, be prepared to shepherd them and lead them and guide them in the path. And like Reverend Bostic said, the main thing is after you learn, it's time to go. It's time to go get more disciples. It's time to preach to other people and bring other people into the understanding of Jesus Christ. So we just thank God for even in the forms of radio and media, and that we're reaching people that we might not have reached before. You know, we are very modern and have all these gadgets and so forth, but let's use them for Jesus Christ. Amen.
I am so refreshed to hear you gentlemen speak. Reverend Dabney or Pastor Dabney, in speaking of your light, your personal light, I work with a colleague. He's a very dear friend. He is a restaurant manager. And let's just say that the presence of Christ at work in and through him has literally brought about a transformation of the work environment, which was not otherwise ostensibly Christian in the very least. His Christian presence has made a distinct and decided difference, and even non-Christian people in that workplace are acknowledging it. Praise God.
Yes.
Gentlemen, yeah, we have about 90 seconds left, okay? So I want to give you each of about 30 seconds apiece, and then I have to close out. Reverend Pastor Dabney, if you'll take your 30 seconds, then we'll turn to Reverend Bostic.
Well, I just thank God for the opportunity again, and I thank God for Jesus. I thank God, even as I'm teaching this class, I have a instructor named Mario who is a believer. And we just thank God for him. And you know, when you work with most people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, we just thank God that we can come on one accord and teach these children. You keep us in prayer, and we'll keep you in prayer. Amen?
Amen. And I thank God you're with us today. Reverend Bostic?
Praise God. We do thank God for this opportunity. And Pastor Lacey, hopefully we'll be getting the opportunity to meet again and come together again and maybe break a little bread together. But I like to just share, though, how it is indeed a body ministry. Not one group is not going to win the city or the world by itself. It's going to take the body of Christ as a whole. You know, so we need to be on one accord. You know what I mean? We need to yield ourselves to God and yield ourselves to one another. And Jesus' second coming is so imminent. And we have to, as a team, there's no I in teams. You know, we all have to come together as believers and share the gospel to a dying world. This world is a sinking ship, and we need to share the gospel and be on one accord doing it.
Well, you have shared the word today, and as you go forth, I know you'll be sharing it more broadly and more deeply still. Praise God. Pastor Larry Dabney, the Reverend Leon Bostick, this is Brad Lacey, host of The Great Message. We thank you for listening, and we wish you God's grace and God's best in every way. Thank you.